Let me give you a brief synopsis of the book of Galatians. That's what I was going to do today, because I want you to look square at the cross. When we say a lot of things, and we obviously are not going to say a lot of things, we make one point, and we say everything we say to make one point. The writer of the song said, kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. The cross was a place of condemnation and judgment, of punishment. But it was condemnation that I should have suffered, punishment that should have come to me. And when I look at the cross, I'm looking at Jesus, who took my punishment, who took my shame, who took my judgment, who took my condemnation, and I am free. Now, when somebody goes for you, that's a wonderful thing. Even if it's just like, oh, I'm going to the store, I'll get it for you. We were in the mountains, a little lady crossed the road, very nice lady. She came, introduced herself. We knew her from this area, and she said, I'm going to the store. Do you need anything? And I could tell she needed me to need something. I mean, you know, she wanted to be helpful. So I gave her a couple of things, and then she wouldn't let me pay her for them. And then a little while later, she had heard something about I collect teapots. I actually don't collect teapots. The fact that I have 50 teapots, it is not a collection. And what happened, somebody saw I had a teapot. I've got one from Mother's house and one from Wayne's mother's house, and they thought I collected teapots. So over the years, everybody gives me a teapot, and I have plenty. My shelves are full. Thank you very much. And I don't need another teapot. And I love all those teapots. I love all those teapots. Somebody said, why don't you get rid of some of these teapots? I said, no, I love those teapots. And I'm trying to remember now which one came from Wayne's mother's, and was this my mother's, and this is the one my sister gave me, and teapots everywhere. But it's not a collection. It isn't. Like a man that had eagles all over his office. And I said, you like eagles? He said, no. Somebody bought me one. Somebody saw it. And next thing you know, I got an office full of eagles. That's kind of how it works. We need to have our heart full of Scripture. Have our heart full of Scripture. In the Galatian church, you're familiar. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians has been a mystery and a point of study of me for years and years and years, because it's really wild. It says weird things. You read Galatians, I'm thinking, what in the world does that mean? These people were not under the law. They had never been under the law. They were not Jews. They were not under the law. They knew nothing about law. And he tells them, Christ has redeemed you from the law. And I thought, why would he say that? They're not under law. Well, they had come to Christ through Jesus Christ. They'd come by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. See, it's grace that saves. For by grace are you saved. But it's faith that opens up the door so that grace can come through. Your faith in the cross, your faith in what Jesus has done, opens wide the door so that grace can come through and save. And I'm not trying to earn anything. You see, the law was a system of rule keeping. Rule keeping does not bring salvation. Rule keeping does not rescue. It does not deliver. It's the cross that saves. It's the cross that delivers. Now, rule keeping is a result of relationship. When I come to Jesus by faith, then I'm going to change and do some things differently because I'm a new creature, because of my relationship with the Father. I'm not trying to impress anybody or impress the Father. I'm not trying to earn anything by scripture memorization, reading a chapter a day, reading the Bible through a year. I believe in all those things, but they have nothing to do with the salvation deliverance that's in me. They have to do with increasing my faith, enhancing my faith, enabling my faith to function. But it's faith and trust that's function. It's not the rule keeping. It's not the fact that you got perfect attendance in Sunday school. Now, Wayne and I have a relationship, and I wash his jeans. You know, since he's been retired a good number of years, we don't do things like we used to, because he helps me in everything. When he was working, I did more. So I like him not working. Till payday, and they don't like it just quite as well, but I wash the jeans. I usually run the washer. That's the part I still maintain. And he can do the washer. But I'm not washing the jeans to impress him. I'm not washing the jeans to gain his favor. I'm washing the jeans because we have a relationship. I have a relationship with heaven. I have a relationship with the cross. I have a relationship with the Father. I'm not trying to impress him. I'm not trying to earn anything. I'm standing at the foot of the cross. I'm kneeling at the cross, looking at the cross, looking at the death and resurrection, reaching out my hand of faith to receive what Jesus has done. I'm going to stand at the empty tomb and sit in the upper room. I'm going to receive the full package of heaven, and I'm going to receive it with my faith. And it's not a matter of keeping the rules. It's not a matter of perfect attendance. The reason I'm here every Sunday is because of my relationship.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not trying to impress God. Sometimes I've come too tired and wish I was home. God knew that. Well, I do all the meal planning. I don't do all the cooking, but I do all the planning. And Wayne will say, what are we cooking? How do you want me to help you? Well, I'm not planning meals because if I don't eat, it doesn't feed me. You see what happens? We didn't get saved by keeping any rule. We didn't get saved by law. These people did not come through law. They did not have an acquaintance with law. I'm going to explain it to you in a minute why Paul mentioned this. But once they got saved by the cross, the Judaizers came and tried to say, yeah, and you have to keep the law. You better add the law to that. And they became a mixture of faith and law. And when they did, they say, the scripture says they fell from grace. Because it's grace and faith alone that saves, not your adherence to any law or rule. Now, we were raised on rules. The only rule I never heard was you didn't drink Cokes on Sunday. It took me a while to figure out why I never heard that one. And then I asked my sister, do we ever have Cokes on Sunday? And it dawned on me, we didn't have Cokes on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. We didn't ever have Cokes. Coke was what you went downtown. I was raised in Auburndale to the store there in Auburndale, the drugstore. We had a drugstore there. And you got a Coke. You got a regular Coke, a vanilla Coke, cherry Coke, a chocolate Coke. You remember that? Yes. Yeah, those were the good old days. That's where Cokes were. They weren't in the refrigerator. We were raised on a lot of rules. And somehow the rules became as important as the scripture. Now, that's what the Pharisees did. They began to add rules. You can't go but so far on Sunday. You can't go but so far from home. And you can't do this, and you must do this. And they became a product. And they added the rules until history records that the Pharisaical rules were more important to them than the laws of Moses. But it isn't the keeping of the rule, it's relationship. And the reason I cook is not so Wayne could feed me, because we have a relationship. Now, Wayne and I met in 1963. He was just graduated. It was the summer. He just graduated from high school. I was going into my junior year at Auburndale Senior. He's a Lakeland kid. I thought he's a nice enough kid, all right. I wasn't too impressed, but I thought he's nice enough. He showed at my house in September, and my daddy did what my daddy always does. He sent us to, he was actually out of ice cream, which was a very unusual thing at our house. We always had ice cream. Our sherbet. Daddy was a fanatic about that. So he gave us money, sent us to the store, and we had ice cream. That's what daddy always did. And Wayne kept showing up. And I thought, well, he's a nice man. He's a nice boy. And he had a car. You understand? He had a car. Daddy's old car didn't go in reverse. I drove it to college. It didn't go in reverse. So you'd park the farthest park out, you know, and park in a certain direction so nobody could block you in, because it did not go in reverse, ever, for any reason. And Wayne had a nice car, air-conditioned, which was unusual in those days, that went in reverse. It's just absolutely impressive. We dated off and on for a long time. Now, we didn't have a relationship. We became good friends. And I remember exactly where I was going down Fish Hatchery Road. I could see Wayne was getting more and more attached to me, and I was not quite as attached to him. And I had such a relationship with him that I didn't ever want to upset him or disappoint him in any way. I didn't want to frustrate him. And I could see he's getting a little frustrated with me, because I'm kind of an on-again, off-again person, you know. That's what I was. Good today and let me alone tomorrow, you know. And I said to the Lord, see, once you establish a relationship, things change. I said to the Lord, is this my husband? Did you send him to me? If you did, you make me love him with all my heart. And so help me. It's exactly how it happened. Instantly, I was just bleary-eyed. It was planted by heaven. I was never the same. We had a relationship. That's why today I wash his jeans and plan the meals. I'm not trying to earn anything. Heaven came. Heaven came. And glory filled my soul, and it did. So when the army called him, guess what? I got the car. That's the good news. I got the car. He came home in December on leave, and he said, what would you like for Christmas? And I said, I think you know what I'd like for Christmas. And so he bought me an engagement ring, and we got married the following May while he was still in the military. But I was never the same, because it was, I'm not trying to earn anything. I don't vacuum to impress Wayne. And I don't dust all those teapots so he'll be awestruck so that he'll buy me some new shoes. See, I've talked with a lady. Her husband wouldn't buy her shoes. That's not relationship. Scripture says we love him because he first. And it's love that builds that relationship. Now, law says, here's the rules. You do exactly this every time. Now, if you go to James 2:10, it says, if you break one law, you're guilty of every law. You break one law, you're guilty of every. So when he comes, he addresses several times these people who are adding law, who had been to Galatia. They're not sure where Galatia is. It could have been north of some places. It could have been north. It could have been south of Rome. That is making difference to us today. Now, if you go to chapter 1, I marvel that you are so soon, verse 6, so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. Grace is by faith. It's because of the mercy of God. It's not earned. It's not rule keeping. But somebody came and asked, you got to keep these rules. You got to keep these holy days. You got to walk no farther than this on Sunday. You got to do this, that, and the other. A lot of washing, you know, of feet before and hands before certain sacrifices. Paul was aggravated. Look at verse 9. We said before, we say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. Paul had given them the truth. You have that in 3 chapter 1. He said, foolish Galatians. Translators say, stupid Galatians. And some say, you crazy Galatians. And one says, what's wrong with you stupid people? I like a modern translation that relates, don't you? He said, what's wrong with you stupid people? He said, who had bewitched you, paralyzed you, hypnotized you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? One translation said it's been the picture of Jesus on the cross has been painted so clearly for you. It's like a signboard. You understand they didn't know a signboard. They didn't have a camera. They didn't know pictures. He's trying to say, I painted that picture very clearly for you, and you knew it was by grace or faith, and you've listened to these people who've come in and who've polluted this doctrine. And he said in the 5th chapter, I hope these people are cut off. He's had it with them because they're polluting the gospel. Now, what happens that we that want to be healed, we that are standing for what we're looking at the cross and what the cross has done, kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Is we're going to make so many confessions. I believe in confession. And we're going to read so much scripture, and I believe in scripture. But the reason I'm making confessions and reading scripture and praying daily is not to earn God's favor to impress him enough to heal me. Healing is at the cross. Healing is at the cross. It's at the cross. It's through the empty tomb. And I'm healed kneeling right there, saying it should have been me. Thank you for going for me. The reason I'm reading and the reason I'm praying, the reason I'm doing my confessions daily, hourly sometimes, is because it holds my faith steady, my faith in the cross. It anchors my faith. It enhances my faith because Paul said to Thessalonica, your faith grows exceedingly. It causes my faith to grow and it anchors my faith so that my faith is solid and concrete because it's by faith that I stand. It's by faith that the grace of God which heals comes into this body. And it's not that I didn't get saved by rules and I won't be healed by rules. I'm saved by trust in him, and I'm healed by trust in him, and it's at the cross and the empty tomb that I'm saved and healed, delivered, set free, rescued. The Greek word is sozo, the verb, the noun is soteria. They mean to heal, to deliver, to save, to set free, to preserve, to be whole. They're used in the scripture for both forgiveness of sin and healing of the body. One verb, one noun, for what looks to us like separate events. But it's all one event because forgiveness comes through Jesus and the blood and the cross. And healing comes through Jesus and the blood of the cross. You're not healed because you read scripture. You're not healed because you confessed it 55 times. You're healed because you stayed at the cross. And your confession anchored your faith and caused the power to move through you. That's amazing, isn't it? That's why he said you're redeemed from the curse of the law, because they had, as Gentile Christians, saved by faith in Jesus, they had begun to embrace the law. It begun to pollute the doctrine there. the doctrine that Paul said of these people, I hope you're cut off. And he wanted them to know they couldn't be saved through rule keeping. Now, they were saved, you understand. They had come to the cross. But since they came to the cross, they had embraced the rules of the law. They're going to maintain through rule keeping. You didn't get there by the law, and you won't be saved, delivered, and healed by the law. You're looking right at the cross, and it's trust in the cross. Now, let me show you a couple of scriptures in Galatians. Verse 10 of chapter 3. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. The wages of sin is death. That was not written to the sinner. That was written to the church at Rome. He said to the church. You see, sin has an automatic death penalty. I said, but the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. The Old Testament says, I've set for you life and death, blessing and cursing. And just in case we're confused, it says, choose life. See, the choice is mine. But if I veer from the Word of God, see, that's one reason I'm meditating, to anchor my spirit and my soul in God's Word so that I can obey God. Because sin and disobedience has a high price. That doesn't mean everybody's sick of sin. It does not mean that. If you go from man to man, woman to woman, you'll get some strange disease, and you can't hardly blame that on Adam. Now, he said, it means you're of the works of the law under the curse. It's written, curses everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do. If you're going to get saved by law, you're going to get healed by law, you can't miss a single thing. You've got to keep every single rule every single time. Well, he says, it's evident. The next verse says, well, it's evident. It's evident to us. We've already all blown it. That's not going to work for us. Rule keeping. I was raised. We didn't dance. We didn't go to movies. Senior class went to see Gone with the Wind, but Becky didn't go. We had square dancing in high school. I sat in the stands as Becky Hudson does not dance with Mama's note, Daddy's note. Don't know who signed it. And if Mama had known we weren't supposed to have Cokes on Sunday, we wouldn't have, but... And we didn't have television for years. And we raised our children without television. That's why Joel's a computer whiz. He didn't have television, he had a computer. And when I told Joel we don't watch a particular television program, he was just a little boy. See, we were raised under rules, but it isn't rule keeping. I want you to get away from the rule. I want you to know that the meditation and the confession is to anchor your faith, is to cause your faith to grow, is to keep you from wavering while patience is bringing you the promise, while you're kneeling at the cross. You know, you can kneel until your knees get weak, especially natural kneeling. If I kneel and pray, somebody said, let's all kneel and pray. I think that won't take me but 10 seconds before I want to sit and pray. I'm not a very good kneeler. Well, he went and this little boy called, and they were family we knew, and he wanted Joel to come spend the night. And I did not know they were going to do this because they had a lake in their backyard, and she let the boys use the boat and go out in the lake by themselves, and they were about 8 or 9. I would have been horrified had I known that. And they were going to sleep in a tent in the backyard, but they had taken, this little boy had taken his TV program was on. He was taking his TV out to the tent, and he had it all plugged in, and he turned on TV program. Joel saw what it was. He came in the house to talk to the mother. He never said anything. It was a program I had forbid him to watch. Everybody in the world watched it. Everybody. It was very popular. I didn't like it. I thought it contradicted the gospel, and I wouldn't let him watch it. And I told him, Joel, you don't ever watch that. We turned it off. But it isn't the rule keeping. It's the cross. So his mother said to me when I picked him up, you know, Joel spent an hour with me in the kitchen. I could not get him to go outside. I kept saying, you know, my son is watching. Go out and watch TV. That's a great program. He loves that program. Kids love that program. And she said, I just couldn't get him to go out. I never said a word, but he obeyed. And I still feel today like I felt then. That program's not on anymore. It's the good news. But it isn't the rule. It isn't perfect obedience. If you're going to get saved or healed by obeying the rules, by so much reading and so much praying, you have already blown it. I don't have to hesitate to say you've already blown it. But when you kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. And he said, I should have been there, but he was there. And it's trust and obey. For this, it's just trust in what he's done. And every time I meditate and every time I confess, I'm saying, I believe in the cross. I believe in what you've done. Now look, this is important. I could teach this whole book. Turn over to chapter 5. Give you a couple more things. Verse 12, he said, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. Then he tells them how they're supposed to live. Not by rules. You've come into the kingdom by faith, and you walk by faith, and grace brings you healing, and grace brings you forgiveness. He said, but we're not into rules anymore. The law has passed away. You read that in Hebrews. The law was folded up. The law was became obsolete because its purpose had been fulfilled. The law had a specific purpose, which was fulfilled, and we don't have time to go through all that, and it passed away. So this is how he leaves them to leave. He said, forget the law. Forget the rules. Christ redeemed you. Look at the cross. Christ redeemed you. Himself being made a curse for you. Christ redeemed you. Keep your eyes focused on the cross and walk by faith and grace in the cross. And then he says, verse 16, walk in the Spirit. He goes from rule keeping to Spirit leading. Walk in the Spirit. That's how we're going to live successfully. That's how we're going to know what to do. That's how I'm going to know if I need medical treatment or I need to just stand. I stood my ground for over a year on my knee and finally got my healing. Why'd it take so long? I don't know why it took so long. But you give up, you quit, you lose. It's just that simple. I went once and they blew the test. They want me to come back and redo it. And by then I decided, no, I gave you one shot. That's it. That wasn't my fault. But look, walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, it's not the rules, it's the Spirit. The Spirit says, don't have medical treatment. Don't take this prescription. Take these prescriptions. Have this medical treatment. Have this surgery. It's the leadership of the Spirit. Get somebody to pray for you. I was awestruck by a gentleman who said he always asks the Lord in every situation, how do you want this to occur? And he always feels he has a leading to have somebody agree with him, to have anointing with oil, to just pray about it and stand. I never had even thought of that. You know, we just kind of pick a method, and laying on hands is the usual method, and I pick that. We don't have much Holy Ghost leading. He left his people. He said, stay away from the rules. They'll not heal you. But keep up your confession and your reading, your meditating, because it'll anchor you. And he said, walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit. Then verse 25, live in the Spirit. You think he's making a point here? It's not the rule, what is it? And then look at the sixth chapter. Verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, sow in the Spirit, shall of the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap. Walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, live in the Spirit, sow to the Spirit. It's not the rule. Rule keeping does not save. Rule keeping does not maintain. The cross saved. The cross maintains, because I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And abundant life is always at the cross, through the empty tomb. Not enough is said about the cross for my heart. I was thinking, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, was there by faith I received my eyesight. Keep your eye on the cross. When the people of Israel got sick from being snake bit, God told Moses, here's what I want you to do, Moses. Put a serpent on a pole and have everybody that looks at the serpent on the pole will live. He used two words there, one to scan and one to look intently at. Now, if you've got serpents around your feet and you're supposed to look at the pole, you can't do both. You can't He want them to look at that pole. And that's all he wants you to keep your eye on the cross, Becky. Keep it on the cross. Keep it on the cross. Keep it on the sacrifice. Keep it on the blood. Intently look. Engage. Focus. That means, I think I just felt a snake crawl across my foot. But see, you're not looking at the snake. We need to keep our eyes on that cross, Father. Aid us. Help us to not be so confession, reading, and meditative that we think we've earned anything or qualified for anything. Because no matter how many confessions we make or how much we read, healing is still going to be solely, completely and fully in no other way but through the cross. Help us keep our vision on the cross and maintain all these things that enhance and anchor that vision. That's what reading does. It anchors our vision. That's what meditation does. It anchors our vision. And we kneel at the cross today, Father. And we say, by the stripes of Jesus, by the wounds that wounded him, by the bruise that mauled his flesh, we are healed. And no other way can change that, enhance that, or detract us from that. No symptom. Huh. No Judaizer who said, yeah, but you need to. We listen only to you. Yes, to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to sow in the Spirit. We sow today, Father. We boldly decree we're going to stand, kneel, and shout about the cross. Because that's where salvation, soteria, the fullness of it, forgiveness and healing, that's where it is. It's at the cross. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.